want to make sure I shut my phone off. Good afternoon. Brethren, we are living in frightening times. You know, I pulled this off of the internet last night. And all the numbers, I'm sure, have changed since I pulled this off. It says 6 days after the earthquake and tsunamis that ravaged 3,000 miles of African and Asian coastline, the confirmed death toll passed 123,000. UN Humanitarian Chief Jan Edgelen estimated the number of dead was approaching 150,000. And 5 million people are homeless. Remote Indian Islanders are said to be facing starvation. President Bush, his administration, stung by criticism that its aid pledges were small and slow to materialize, raised the U.S. pledge from $35 million to $350 million. He goes on and says, our contributions will continue to be revised as the full effects of this terrible tragedy become clearer. France has promised 57 million, Britain 95 million, Sweden 75.5 million. And since last night, this morning, I heard that Japan has pledged $500 million. An American military cargo jet brought blankets, medicine, and the first of 80,000 body bags to Banda, Asa, I believe is how you pronounce that, the devastated Indonesian city near the quake epicenter. 9 U.S. military C-130 transports took off Friday to the Thai base used by U.S. B-52 bombers during the Vietnam War to rush supplies to the stricken resorts of southern Thailand, Indonesia, and Sri Lanka. You know, we have, brethren, been hearing some remarkable stories, haven't we, this past week of faith and courage in dire circumstances. One man who had an orphanage placed the children in a boat that the motor never started on the first try. Just picture this. This boat would never, ever start on the very first try. But this time the motor started on the first try, and as they saw the wave coming, he prayed and asked God to protect them from certain death, and the wave went around them. You know, God does hear prayers. Evidently, this man had a tremendous amount of faith, and being in that predicament, I can't imagine what was going through his mind. But let's look at today, brethren. Let's look at some of the biblical incidents that show a direct connection of God with these earth movements. Israel's departure from Egypt was followed by quakes that caused mountains to move. Let's all go and start in Matthew in chapter 24. So many scriptures. And you know, this particular event, I think, has really gotten myself involved in more and more Bible study and certainly asking God for more and more protection. Matthew in chapter 24 and verse 6. Simply says, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. The end is not yet. Verse 7, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. You know, the scientists can predict and the scientists can sit back and try to figure all this out. But we know that God's prophecy is here in our Bible. You know, let's go to Isaiah in chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. And did I write it? Isaiah chapter 25, verse 25. Therefore, the anger of the Lord is aroused against his people. He has stretched out his hand against them and stricken them. And the hills trembled. Their carcasses were as refuge in the midst of the streets. For all this His anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Back to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 19. They shall go into the holes of the rocks, into the caves of the earth, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake the earth mightily. Verse 20, in that day a man will cast away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made, each for himself to worship, to the moles and bats. Verse 21, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the crags of the rugged rocks, from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake the earth mightily. You know, knowing that, brethren, knowing that it is God who shakes the earth, he allows the earthquakes, what right have we today, being in God's church, what right have we to fear for our safety? Matthew, you don't have to turn there. Matthew in chapter 15 and verse 50, Matthew 12 and verse 50, reminds us that if we do the will of the Father, that we are Christ's brother, mother, and sister. To do the will of Christ, to exercise God's Holy Spirit, and to live a way of life that does bring each and every one of us eternal life. And I ask today, what is our part in time of danger? We do have a part. What is our part? While our safety is certainly assured, we do have a part to play in it. We are told to what? We are told to watch and pray that we may escape all of these things. Earthquakes, as well as famine, pestilence, and persecution. They're all mentioned as a thing which we are to watch for and be protected from. We must, brethren, put our life in God's hands to preserve or take as he should choose. You know, the world is in a great, great mess right now, a tremendous mess. And in addition to being watchful and praying, action may also be our duty. You know, when Jerusalem was surrounded by armies, those Christians in Judah were to flee to the mountains. And we often have to do what is necessary to assure our safety in today's time. We have to take precautions. We have to be always on the watch. 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, hard times will come, perilous times will come, difficult times. And we are seeing some perilous times right now, difficult times, hard times. They're unfolding before our very eyes. In this very, very troubled part of the world, where this tsunami that hit Asia, big tidal wave, which is, you know, the mind, it's hard for us to really comprehend, I think. I really do. I can sit back and read all the facts on it or try to, and it's just hard for me to really fathom how this happened. How could it happen? But God can and does control the earth, and there will be an earthquake at his return. There will be an earthquake at his return, as stated in Zechariah. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4. I got one or two more scriptures that I probably am going over a little bit of my scriptures, but I believe to make this point today, it's very, very important. Simply says, in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. You know, the event, brother, the event of Christ's return will most certainly will shake this world and the accompanying earthquake to form a valley across Palestine. And it might, you know, that might well do the same. We don't know how we'll end up. But we're also familiar with Scripture in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, and verse 38. Matthew 24 and verse 38. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. In verse 39, it did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son, our older brother, Jesus Christ. These people were eating and drinking and celebrating Christmas and New Year's Eve, or New Year's, the new year coming in. Did not see it coming. That is the way the world will be when Christ returns. We've been called. God has opened our minds. He's given us a breath that we all should be very thankful for. There's a lot of wealthy people, I think, on that island that were really partying and having a good time, vacation. No one knew what was coming. You know, war, famine, pestilence, and earthquakes are all signs, brethren, to precede the arrival of Christ as world ruler. Each war, each famine, each earthquake, we haven't heard, this one here is mind-boggling to think how many people and how much land that this earthquake under the water caused. But a bigger one's coming. And to us, you know, our acceptance, brethren, our acceptance of these signs ought to be with understanding, not fear. And Satan wants us to fear. Satan wants to, you know, try his best to get our minds off the real goal that all of us are supposed to be pressing forward to obtain. That is to be in the kingdom of God. But each war, each famine, each earthquake, it's the waymark of the path the world must follow before it can have peace. These things must happen. And to us, earthquakes, rumors of war are the signs of an approaching event. Each and every one of us, we know all about it. One which we await with joy. We await with joy and not fear. Now, how do you do that? It's not easy. It's not easy at all. All who can call themselves Christians ask for this event when they pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven." Many are predicting, I think, the end of the war, the world right now. Earthquakes, again, are a sign that time is drawing closer. And to those brethren who are not yet begotten sons of God, and we know that, you know, God is not dealing with this whole world yet. These signs are a warning of trouble ahead. A warning to forsake idols and religious practices which have their origin in paganism, such as Christmas. Wonderful sermon last Sabbath about Christmas, the Christmas story. God is certainly, at this moment, I'm sure, is not all... He's not for any of this. He's allowing it to happen. Forsake these heathen ways and to turn to their Creator. That's what God wants. For His protection and to become His son by receiving His Spirit so that they also may call Him Father and trust in Him as we do. You know, there's one last scripture I'd like to turn to. And I think of all of the scriptures, I picked out this one to close. I think this is probably, to me, one that we could really read every evening now, because, you know, I just don't see, you know, it's just a devastating thing that has happened. And let's all turn to Psalms in chapter 91, Psalms 91 and verse 7. A thousand may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. We are, brethren, to live in a state of preparedness, always being watchful, always staying close to God, and praying always for protection and awareness of the current events that are going on at this time. Yes, brethren, we are living in a very frightening time. But we, all of us in this room today, we all know the end of the story. We have so much to look forward to. We must pray for this world. We must pray for this world and the things that are coming, and be joyful in anticipation of our part in our great God's kingdom.